Walking with God. And the title of today's message is Finding Comfort. Finding Comfort. If you have your Bibles with you, Psalm 23, today's focus is going to be verse 4, in the latter part of verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. George, a powerful, descriptive message about that part of the scripture. And I loved how you pointed out, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, meaning I'm going to walk through those seasons. It's not by chance. It may or may not happen. No, it will happen. But now we go further. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Let's say that again. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Comfort is such a powerful word. For comfort to come within us, we must have a secure sense of well-being. Nothing like going through difficulties, going through valleys that can be described as the valley of the shadow of death, but to walk through it with comfort, knowing that God has not left us. And then this is something I want us to focus in on. Comfort always has a source. The strength of your comfort is dependent on its source. Now, we see this image of a shepherd that's guiding his sheep, but we know this, not all shepherds are good. And then the question is, what is the source of your comfort today? Who is watching over you? Who has your back? David knew clearly who his shepherd was. The Lord is my shepherd. David understood what it meant to have a good shepherd, and he proclaimed so clearly, the Lord is my shepherd. And in this part of the psalm, he goes on to bring to our knowledge something that we're not real familiar with, and that is, your rod and staff, they comfort me. Now, I don't know about you. I've heard this psalm, read this psalm multiple times, and I never really thought a whole lot about the rod and staff. I didn't know any shepherds. I didn't walk in any fields with any shepherds, so I did not understand the tools of the shepherd. But the rod and staff in the hands of the good shepherd brings the ultimate comfort in this life. So I want to bring out a couple of tools of the shepherd today. Now, you're familiar with this, right? This is called the staff. We relate to this because we've seen it a lot, but we still don't know, most of us, at least me, how the shepherd utilized this in multiple ways. The staff, and then started looking to see, what was the rod? What was the rod? And even looking for images of it was kind of difficult. But it boiled down, the rod was a club. And y'all may laugh at my club today, but when my boy played T-ball, see T-ball? After his season ended, I realized, hey, this could be some good home defense. So I never got rid of it. And I got that special place for it under my bed. Well, I might have to bring it out one night. Don't want to. But that, the rod is a club. The shepherd's rod is an instrument of protection, but not only protection, but also discipline. The rod is a weapon of power, authority, and defense. Let me say this. Now, we probably need a tougher looking guy up here. But the rod speaks, right? The rod speaks. The sheep knew the rod in the hands of the shepherd meant protection for them. But today I want us to look at the rod of God's word. The word is described sharper than any double-edged sword. We are guarded by the word of God. The power, veracity, and all authority of God's word is amazing. And as Christians that are entrusted with the word of God, our good shepherd that carries that word because he is the word, stands ready to bless and guard our lives every day. But I heard a statistic just yesterday. 14% of Christians read their Bible daily. And that statistic might be high. We need the power and the presence of God's word in our lives. The presence of the good shepherd is always connected to being in the presence of the word. See, a true comfort to our soul is the word of God. The word, the rod of God, it is the extension of his mind, his will, and his intentions for us. How do we know what God is thinking without having a connection to his word? How can we know the intentions that he has for man if we do not embrace his word? We can make it up. We can dream things up. We can follow shepherds that are not good shepherds. But even the shepherds on this earth that walk with good intentions should always demand that we know the intentions of God, not by them, but by the word of God. See, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod of comfort. How is the word of God a comfort to us? The word of God is truth. Living in a world filled with lies, governed by the father of lies, how sweet is it to embrace truth? And the word of God is truth. The word of God is invincible. Whenever the word of God is yielded, there is nothing that is able to conquer it. Nothing. Now we need to believe that and understand it because there's nothing more powerful than the word of God. And it is in our ability to reach and to be under the protection of the word. The word of God is unchanging. In a world that is constantly changing around us, how good is it to know that the word never changes? Now, how many of us have ever been in relationships that didn't shift and change? It happens, right? Man messes up. Man makes mistakes. But God doesn't. We need his word to bring forth stability in our lives because God's word will not change. If it is in his word, it is lasting. It is all eternal. The word of God doesn't evolve to the likings of man. The word of God is perfect and it stands unchanged. changing. See, the Word of God will prevail against anything that comes against it. The rod is power to guard and protect. I don't know about you, but that is comforting to me. Because I need consistency. I need to know something is real. It will not change. It is truthful from beginning to the end. Psalm 23, verse 4, in the latter part. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod was also a tool of discipline. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 tells us this about the breath of God, the Word of God. All Scripture is breathed out by who? By God. Divinely inspired, given for our hearing today, given to the nation of Israel to guard and protect so that it would reach to the generation that we are this day and beyond. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, in right standing with God. See, the Word comes swiftly to our heart. When we begin to veer and go in places that we shouldn't, the Word of God has a tendency to what? Come right to our understanding. Scriptures that we maybe didn't even know that we had memorized or were stored in our minds, when we begin to head in the wrong direction, many times it is God's mercy that sends that rod of His Word to our heart to awaken us. The divine direction with perfect timing. See, sin comes, the Word raises up a standard. In Isaiah 59, the latter part of verse 19, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to open our hearts to wisdom. And it looks like this. Do you have any predators? Do you have any enemies that want to take you out? I said, Pastor, I don't want to think about that. We have a spiritual enemy that wants us devastated. We have a predator that wars and prowls around, crouching at the door looking for who he will, what? Devour. See, the shepherd, when he would see the predator come, the shepherd would throw the rod at the predator of the sheep. So the rod was a club that had precision. He would learn how to throw it so that the predator would what? Would flee. And sometimes it never left the shepherd's hand. Sometimes he had to do the business that was necessary to destroy the predator that was coming against his sheep. Philip Keller, the author of the book that we've been utilizing in this series, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, speaks of a situation that he went through when he was in Africa. He went to Africa and was in the field with a shepherd from that area. And as he studied how that shepherd maintained the sheep, one thing he noticed never would leave that shepherd's hand, and that was the rod. And they were looking and walking through the land, and there was some kind of rock that they needed to move. And so when they started to push the rock, as they lifted it up, out from under that rock was a cobra ready to strike. Aren't you glad we don't have cobras in South Carolina? We do have rattlesnakes and other snakes, but we don't have cobras. And he said as soon as that cobra was seen, The shepherd took him right out. He was always ready to deal with the predators of the sheep. How much more is God ready to deal with the predators that come against us? The rod is used against the enemy. The shepherd was always ready to defend the sheep with the rod. Now I want to move to another aspect of the rod. The rod is an instrument for discipline as well as protection, because discipline is what? Protection. The rod is also applied at times to us. Now, there's a lot of controversy over this. But I'm here to testify, okay? I have felt the fury of the rod. Oh, not just from mom and daddy. Sassing my teacher at school. Put your hands up against the wall. And don't you dare reach back. You saw that must have been a Christian private school. No, that was public school. And you know what? People sometimes abuse with the rod. They do. And that's evil. But at times, used correctly, it'll wake up a heart like nothing else will. And it woke up this hard head a number of times. But here's the thing. Spare the rod, spoil the child. It's more than just talking about whipping, okay? There's more to it. The rod of discipline protects our children from the predators that seek to destroy them. There are more kids that said, I wish there were boundaries in my home as they become adults, than say they were too strict on me. Now, there are some parents, again, that take it too far. But there's a whole lot of parents that don't set any boundaries and don't carry any kind of rod. And I don't want you to think of it in the sense that you're walking around with the paddle all the time. No, no. Because what gets the heart greater is the discipline. And so this rod was used at times by the shepherd to awaken the heart of the sheep. The shepherd's rod was cast at the sheep to alert them to danger. Sometimes the sheep was going in a place that it shouldn't, and just to keep him, as here, falling off the ledge, sometimes the rod was just tossed to get his attention. And it saved the sheep's life. And I want to say this. Wisdom walks with correction. How unwise it is to think, I don't need correction. I need correction. Just like we heard the alarm of that bat, we need correction to alert us to the dangers that surround us. The rod of discipline opens our heart to wisdom. Can we thank God that He doesn't let us just do whatever we think we should do and not deal with us with the rod at times? How many of us are here today because the rod came and we what? We listened. We listened. We all have been under the grace of the protection of the rod of the Good Shepherd. What happens is the heart gets so hardened that when love casts, we're deadened. We don't even hear it. And we forge ahead in our own way and we deal with the consequences. But I also want to talk about the rod of examination. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 36 and 37 tells us this. Now, this is speaking of how God dealt with the children in the wilderness. The children of Israel that wandered through the desert as they were walking away from bondage. We see this, Ezekiel 20, starting with verse 36. As I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will enter into judgment with you, and let's say this together, declares the Lord God. God is a good shepherd. He carries a rod. He will bring judgment to us. Don't you thank God for some good judgment and people that have been responsible for you throughout your life? Because we've all felt what happens when bad judgment is applied to those that are called to protect us and lead us. It's not a good feeling. As I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will enter into judgment with you, declares the Lord. Verse 37, I will make you, let's say these four words together, pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I'm going to read that one more time. This is very important. I will make you pass under the rod. I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And we don't get any better than walking in unity in the covenant with God. So what is meant by that? Well, one thing that the rod provided for the shepherd was a way to examine his sheep. So the sheep normally have a lot of what on their bodies? Wool. And the wool would cover conditions that the shepherd needed to see. So what the shepherd would do, he would take the rod and he would go along the back of the sheep, the body of the sheep, and he would look for anything that was not of health. He would examine the sheep. He would look to see, is there anything there that is hurting my sheep? The rod was a tool of examination. Now, I'm going to touch on this real briefly, but we have a precious lady here that's been here from the very beginning of the church, from day, even before the first service, months before, Tracy Ely. And one day, her husband saw something on her back. There was no way she could see it. And he was concerned. He was like, you know, you probably need to have that looked at. So she saw there was a free screening day. She went to this free screening, not thinking much about it. It's just maybe something, you know, not serious. She goes, the doctor sees it. He has her in the office the next day, or pretty close to that. And it was melanoma that was set forth to kill her. It had already began its journey. But by the examination that was removed, and we see the fruit of Tracy's health today. It's amazing. We need examination. And the good shepherd will search us. Psalm 139:23 tells us this, search me, O God. Come on. Bring that rod of examination, God. Come, I need it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, what grieves God may not what? Grieve us. You know, Tracy was living with that. She didn't think much about it. It wasn't hurting her that she knew. She didn't feel it. But it was taking from her. It was seeking her destruction. There are things, unless we are open to the examination of passing under the rod, that we will not see. And that which is grievous to God sometimes is just okay with us. Whose perspective do we want? God. See, you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. I love this picture of the sheep. They've had a haircut recently, right? Yeah, and they look like, wow, what just happened? But you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. He sees everything. The good shepherd sees all, and love identifies the problem. Love comes and says, this isn't cool. This will what? Destroy you. God's love is the cure for our condition. It isn't about hurting us. It isn't about shaming us. It isn't about making us feel sorry about who we are. It's about healing us. It's about curing us. It's about building us, guarding us. The rod of the Good Shepherd. No greater comfort than to be covered by the love of God. And please never forget, the rod, though looks intimidating, looks challenging, it is authority that we need in our lives that will bring about liberty and freedom and the fullness of abundant life for us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, right at the enemy. Sometimes to what? Get our attention. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In the care of the Good Shepherd. Now I want to talk for a moment about the shepherd's staff. As the rod speaks, guess what? The staff speaks as well. The staff is likened to the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to think about this for a moment. The shepherd's staff identifies him. This is an image that has been really brought real clear in our minds because we've seen Christmas play after Christmas play with the shepherd's staff. And in fact, this is a real shepherd's staff. It's not a Hollywood fake. It's the real deal. Because I look really hard on Amazon for the staff. And my wife, when she heard I was searching, she says, buy that because I want that in my house. So this is part of the decorations at the Crosby's house, right? But this is the real deal. And it said in the description, I probably shouldn't touch on this, but it said this is a staff utilized for sheep. And it's also equipped to fully deal with goats as well, is what it said. And if we're honest, sometimes we walk the line between the two. The staff identifies the shepherd. If you're out in a country somewhere and you look and you see men standing in the field and you see someone that's carrying the staff with the sheep, you call him what? The shepherd. The shepherd. See, as the shepherd's staff identifies him, God's presence is identified by his Spirit. You know, that's one of the things I'm so thankful for, because people call themselves Christians all the time, but not everybody that calls themselves a Christian is a what? A Christian. And by God's mercy, he's put us in a family where when the Spirit of God is living in us, he equips us with the ability to see the Spirit of God in others. And there's a safety that comes when God's Spirit is in us and we can identify where God's Spirit is in others. We miss it sometimes, right? And it's not like we're going around trying to judge everybody. No. But it's a comforting to know they're part of the family. And it looks like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So what do you mean, Pastor? when you, who the Son has set free, is free indeed. We're all growing. We're all at different levels of growth. But one thing that we see is a liberty, a freedom, because God's Spirit is there empowering our journey. If we're trying to follow God, follow the Good Shepherd by the Spirit that we were born with alone, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. And one of the ways that we see that, we could care less about the rod. We don't hear it. We don't even acknowledge it. But here's the thing. The seal of the Holy Spirit resides in those who are following the Good Shepherd. And see, this staff was also seen as a staff of unity. There were times when the shepherd would be walking through the fields and the pastures, and a new lamb was born. And that new lamb seemed to be rejected by its mother, or the lamb was confused and didn't draw near to the mother. The shepherd would reach out and draw that lamb against the mama. Sometimes if he got in there and touched it too much, his scent would be placed all on that lamb. So he would use the staff to draw that little lamb close to where it belonged. There were times in the journey where the sheep would get separated. And as the shepherd at times would use the staff to draw them together, to draw them back to unity. So it wasn't seen as something to hurt them, seen something as something to protect them, to guide them, comforting. But then there was another aspect of the unity of the staff. The shepherd would use the staff to draw the sheep to himself. You see that picture there, the lamb close to the shepherd. See, when we begin to drift and run, God has a way of drawing us back to himself. How many of us here have ran, and by mercy, the shepherd's touch drew us back to himself? There have been times where we felt like no more. We will never return to the place that we were at one time. But the staff of unity, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God just drew our stubborn selves back to him. And when that staff got a hold of us, it was a comforting thing. Finding comfort and letting that staff, the Spirit, have his will in us. See, John 6:44 tells us, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me, what? Draws. Come on, it's all right. You're running because you're born with the nature to run. But come on, come back to where you belong. See, the staff was also a tool of the shepherd of guidance, the staff of guidance. Along the journey, there was a gentle nudge along the way. The staff. John 16:13a tells us this: when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. The guiding power of the Holy Spirit, the journey. Lord, as I miss it, bring me back, guide me back. Who's carrying the shepherd's staff? Look for it. I'm sure there were times when the sheep lost vision of that shepherd, but that staff reminded them who to trust. It wasn't a fearful thing to them. But then we see this, the staff also, not only was it a staff of guidance, but it was also a staff of connection. Nobody likes feeling alone. And the staff was used at times to touch the sheep, like the pat on the back, like the hug. And when the shepherd would touch the sheep with that staff, it was peaceful to them. He's watching me. Austin, if you let me do this, I got your back. I got your back. I got your back. I'm here. And that touch would come, not for pain, but for, say it with me, comfort, comfort. The touch of God's presence, it is a comfort to my soul. John 14:16. And I will ask the Father, this is Jesus speaking, and he will give you another helper, another comforter to be with you forever. And then lastly today, the staff was also the staff of rescue. Like sheep, we stubbornly follow our own selfish way, disregarding the dangers that surround us. I'm going to say that again. Like sheep, we stubbornly follow our own selfish way, disregarding the dangers that surround us. But how many of us can say, thank you, Lord, for the good shepherd reaches into our dilemma to what? To set us free. To set us free. I told you the story of when I tried to climb Mount Camel. Is it Mount Camel? Is that right? Camelback Mountain. Yeah. How did I forget? Going up was this part. My son said, this is an easy one. This is an easy one. I'm like, after I got halfway there, I said, there ain't nothing easy about this. People have died trying to do this. And as I was going up, they try to help people out and put a railing in the middle. And even with the railing, I just couldn't do it. And by that time, Austin was like, oh, man, Dad. And I could not do it. Coming down the mountain on the edge of the cliff, there was a fence, a chain link fence. And some people walked down just holding to that fence a little at a time. And there was this guy that saw my dilemma. And he grabbed a hold of that chain link fence and held tight. And he reached out his hand. And it was about yay distance from me. It was like 3-4 feet. I couldn't reach him. He said, man, he said, reach out. I got you. Reach out, I got you. I wish you would have had this with him. That would have solved my problem, right? And I still remember what it was like looking down and looking at the one that was there to help me. And I was like going in between. If I let go, I may go this way. I don't know if I'm going to go that way. And then finally, you got to do it. And I still remember jumping out. And guess what? He got my hand, pulled me to that fence, and everything was okay. But it took some faith in that guy to be willing to go towards him. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, in all of the garbage that I've entered into with my life, God is standing there. Take it. Take it. But there's a lot of reasons not to, right? There's a whole lot of reasons to reject that staff. But it is always there to set us free. And the thing about God, God will not fail us. Now that guy could have messed up and I could have rolled down the mountain. I could have. What my time? But God will never falter in his rescue of us. The good shepherd reaches into our dilemma to set us free. Can we thank him today? Can we thank him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The fullness of comfort is found in our good shepherd. The good shepherd provides the fullness of our comfort. He is our source. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. What does evil represent? Defeat. What does evil represent? Given up. What does evil represent? Prolonged torture. But what does your good shepherd represent? The one that is able to guard you and to overcome this fear with the knowing that he is there, and knowing without a shadow of a doubt, our good shepherd carries the rod and the staff. And ain't nothing gonna take it out of his hands. There is nothing that's going to separate him from who he is and what he is able to do in our life. Not our stupidity, not our mistakes, not our hardness of heart. God is a deliverer. Amen. Who will we trust? Who will we trust? Can we, if we're able this morning, can we just stand to our feet for a moment? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we want to find comfort. We want comfort, Lord Jesus. And comfort being not laziness, not an excuse, Lord, not unplugging, but we want the comfort provided by our good shepherd, because it doesn't get any better than that. As we stand here this morning, each of our lives testify unto God. What is our source of comfort? Now, I'm going to ask you this morning, what is your source of comfort? See, God knows. God knows. And God has allowed some people to see what you're trusting in. Who is the source of your comfort? God knows. There is no man that deserves the right to be the source of your comfort. And I'll say that. No person in our life should be our source of comfort. And there is no thing in our life that should be our source of comfort. Material things fade and falter. And the one who is trusted in that thing to be their comfort has learned, in most cases, once obtained, its glory quickly fades. And then we're off to the next thing, the next thing. Same is true with relationships. If only, if only, if only. And then when it happens, then reality comes and says, you know, it's nice, but it isn't the foundation. For if it has become your foundation, be guarded, for the will of man and the will of the material will be that which leads you. And God never intended that, because he loves you too much. See, David knew who his source of comfort was. For the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that unto God today if that's in your heart? For the Lord is my shepherd. For the Lord is my shepherd. And we can say it with boldness. For the Lord is my shepherd. Yes, Lord. And we know it is only by grace that we want to follow. It is only by mercy that we continue to look for Him and follow Him. The Lord is my shepherd.